Welcome to the Tax Answers Advisor, the podcast where we tackle the real tax frustrations that taxpayers experience who owe the IRS money, your ex left you a surprise tax bill, or the IRS has just sucked money out of your bank account. If this anxiety and frustration keeps you up at night, then keep listening. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed by unfiled tax returns, or you're staring down a tax bill you didn't even create. It just caught you by surprise, and you owe $20,000 or more from actions of your former spouse, or dead spouse perhaps, and you had no idea. And now you're not even sure where to turn. You're not alone, and you don't have to stay stuck. Each week, we break down understandable tax solutions that can help you get control back over your finances, get back your peace of mind, and protect your future one clear step at a time. Whether you're looking to help yourself or want to support a family member who's facing these tax challenges, this podcast is here to empower you with knowledge you need to make the next best step. Stay with us for this very special episode so you can know the exact next steps to move forward with confidence and finally get the tax answers you deserve. This week, we have a very special guest, Patrick Wanzer, a CPA, CTRC, and author, and also the co-founder of Breakthrough Tax Resolution. Also, are overdue tax returns or unfiled tax returns keeping you up at night? Or are you feeling overwhelmed by the tax issues stemming from a spouse's dishonest business dealings, or perhaps you're behind in years of filing tax returns? You're not alone, and it's time to take control. We help clients eliminate the feelings of annoyance and embarrassment about owing taxes, ensuring you're not worried about fines, fees, or penalties. We remove the stress and anxiety of dealing with the IRS so you won't face unexpected tax liens or surprises like having money sucked out of your bank account or even worse. Visit taxreliefcall.com today to schedule your introductory session so you can get on the road to sleeping better at night and having peace of mind. Well, we want to give a big shout out and welcome here to Patrick. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine, Marcelino. How are you?
I am doing just fine, too. We're all warmed up and ready to go. Hopefully not too warm out there.
Well, it's getting warm here in Indiana because we have all the humidity here, too. So,
yeah, that can be awful there. But Patrick, why don't you take a few moments, introduce yourself, and just kind of let us know a little bit about your background and where you're coming from.
Absolutely. My name is Patrick Wanzer. I'm the partner and co-founder of Breakthrough Tax Resolution. Breakthrough Tax Resolution is a full-service tax representation firm. We work with clients to resolve tax issues with the IRS and state departments of revenue, and that's exclusively what we do. We just do tax resolution work. We run all gamuts of every aspect of tax resolution. I am a CPA, been a CPA for 11 years, and a certified tax representation consultant. I've been doing tax resolution since 2015, so that's about 10 years. National Training with Tax Rep Network. I'm actually the very first member to join Tax Rep Network, and I have authored two books, one, Break Free from the IRS, How to Resolve IRS Tax Debt and Reclaim Your Freedom, available on Amazon.com. And my second book in the Break Free series called Break Free from the IRS, Taxes and Divorce, A Match Not Made in Heaven. And that'll be available in about 2 weeks, early August. And it's all about tax issues and divorce, because I've run into a lot of clients who were referred by attorneys where their tax settlement, their divorce settlement agreements run afoul of IRS procedure. The settlement agreement isn't wrong per se at what the lawyers are trying to do, but it outlines procedures that can't be met because the IRS doesn't work that way. And so we've embarked on a journey to try to help educate CPAs, CTRCs, EAs, family law attorneys on how to deal with taxes and divorce. So,
which is actually the whole subject of what we're going to talk about today, taxes related to divorce, issues, challenges, areas that a taxpayer should keep in mind, and also, of course, their attorneys that are perhaps working them through this difficult time. And that's why this book of yours, Break Free from the IRS, Taxes and Divorce, A Match Not Made in Heaven, why that is going to be a good tool, and it has been a good tool in my reading through it. I've learned a lot. I do this business. But one thing that we talk about in tax resolution, that's a niche just within taxes. Mm-hmm. As we talk about, even within tax resolution, there's sub niches within that. And this area is just a sub niche of that, because there's specialties right within figuring taxes at divorce and family attorneys and all of that. That's a whole special issue right in itself, which is why we're going to talk about that today.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
And actually, I do really enjoy your book, because the target of the book is mainly family law attorneys. But of course, it'll help anybody, even a taxpayer, maybe I ask my attorney about this, or maybe I need to bring this up to my attorney because we haven't talked about these things. So
absolutely.
Things do that.
And that's a great point that you bring up, although it is written, the family law attorneys as the audience in the sense of, hey, this is what they need to think about. But as an EA or a CPA who is doing this work, it's very important. It's a very good tool for you if you wanted to branch out to work with family law attorneys, because they're a great referral source. Family law attorneys hate tax. They don't want to deal with tax. They want to play in the family law sandbox. They play in the tax resolution sandbox. It gives you ideas and tools on how to approach family law attorneys and what to advise them on as well. So it really is for practitioners who deal in tax resolution, although a lot of it is written in the sense of what family law attorneys should do when it comes to tax and divorce.
Yes, definitely there. One of the areas I really appreciated about your book is the forward by our associate, Alicia Dixon, who's also a CTRC. We work together with her through Tax Rep Network. But one of the points I really appreciate is the emphasis placed in the forward of how important it is to get help during this stressful time, especially tax help, when you're dealing with a divorce, to make sure all those items are lined up correctly.
Absolutely. And Marcelino, you understand this. When you have clients come in, a brand new client, they're kind of embarrassed. They are ashamed. They don't want to talk about the issue because they feel like they messed up or something. And our whole approach is there ain't no judgment at all. They're in this situation. You're at point A. Let's get them to point B and get it resolved. But it's a tough thing for them to want to acknowledge and want to accept, you know, find help to resolve this. They want to try it with themselves. You throw in divorce, and that pulls a whole nother gamut of everything, because then you have to work with the other side, work with attorneys and that sort of thing. But it's imperative to get help, because it helps relieve the anxiety. What we do is let them know there is a way to resolve it. There is a path forward. We can get you through this. It'll take some time. It'll probably cost some money. We can never guarantee we'll get you out of the tax. That isn't, we say we help resolve, facilitate a process to resolve the situation. But it's important to do that. And people they're scared and they're embarrassed. And we really work hard to make sure we don't exacerbate that feeling. We want to put that feeling to rest, saying it is what it is. There's no judgment. Let's get this resolved so you can move on with your life.
Yes. And that's why the work we do is so important. It helps them to get on with their life, especially as we're dealing with the family, divorce, and so on. So let's just kind of jump a little bit deeper in here. It says, why would it be important for our taxpayer to ask their family attorney about these tax and financial issues? Let's start there.
Well, sure, because tax issues are kind of like a landmine, kind of a silent thing that can sit in there and you may not know about it. Or maybe you don't trust your soon to be ex-spouse. Ask your family law attorney to inquire about it or something. And if there is a big tax issue, how does it get resolved? Because there are specific procedures that the IRS lays out to resolve things, and you don't want to run afoul in the settlement agreements when you're wanting to resolve this. Good example of that is a client that I had come in, and she was already divorced, and she wanted to talk about an offer in compromise. She owed, I forget how much she owed, I think it was like $30,000 or $40,000, and she hardly made any money. I mean, the only money she made was a very small salary, and the money her daughter gave her. She was, not only was she a candidate for an offer, clearly, the offer was $50, okay? But here was the problem. The divorce settlement agreement said that after the divorce, they were required to file a joint offer and compromise, and the IRS will accept it within 6 months. Well, two problems with that. First of all, once you're divorced, you can't file a joint offer, number one. Number two, the IRS does not work that fast. The IRS will work at their pace. The little family court, you know, settlement agreement, the little family court decree, the IRS just kind of laughs at that, brushes it off as like a troublesome fly. And so we had to work with the attorneys to do an agreed entry to get that adjusted so they could do their own offers of compromise. So they were not content in violation of their settlement agreement. And that's an example of why you want to ask your attorneys about that. Ask them, could we get some help to make sure we get the procedure correct in the first place so we don't have to do this extra work?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely there. That's important why these consultations are important, because what happens or what can happen is something that the IRS just loves, and that's chaos with a taxpayer, because that always ends up in favor of the IRS. So there, as you look, as you go into this, and as we talk about this, how does the IRS then turn around and thrive on this chaos?
Sure. And the IRS loves chaos because they want to get whatever information out of you that they can to get as much out of you as they can. Part of me gets it. They're representing their client, the government of the United States. They're representing them the best they can. And then we represent the taxpayer defending them against that. But they love chaos. There's a good friend of mine. She's an auditor with the IRS up in Chicago. She was down in Indianapolis for a family gathering. She and her husband were there because they're good family friends. And talking about what I do as a tax resolution, kind of I'm on the other side. And I was telling her about my new book. And there's a line in my book about an old saying from World War II called loose lips sink ships. The idea behind, you know, don't talk about anything about the war because we don't know who the person is. And they can get information that could be same with the IRS. Loose lips sink ships. And I told her, I said that. She looked right at me. She goes, ooh, we love loose lips. And that's exactly right. She's an auditor. She's an investigator. They love loose lips. They want you to keep talking. And they'll ask you all kinds of, and they'll sing conversation. They'll ask you just like in passing, like, you know, oh, okay. So you have, what do you do? Oh, you have children? Yeah. You know, oh, you have a daycare in your house? Oh, that's cool. You know, what do you do, et cetera, when there's no daycare listed on the return. And now you're talking about something, and now they realize, oh my gosh, there's no issue on the return, which you just talked about how you have a daycare and you provide this service. Things like that. They talk in conversational tone, and they keep talking, and they'll get information out of it. And it's imperative to have somebody who knows to deal with the IRS like us, who understands that and gives the IRS just what they need, only what they need, and the scope of it is very limited to protect the client. Because loose lips sink ships. Less is more. Brevity is the soul of wit. Stop talking and don't give them any more information because they love that chaos. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, so once again, I really appreciate that part about loose lips sink ships. I'm like, we've had these discussions in some of our trainings about, yeah, and even before I was with TAPS, Tax Rep Network, one of the big training areas even there was make sure your client is not in the meeting. So if you're a taxpayer and sometimes things come up and you're dealing with the IRS, you need to just let your representative take care of the matter. And that way it can get resolved because the IRS will turn around and ask you something and you'll be, anyway, it's not good. It's good if you're at, when your representative asks you to not be at the meeting that you represent them, it's our recommendation. Let them do it because they'll be able to get it resolved. Because what happens also that even leads up to those meetings is the IRS collection process. Now that's a whole process in itself. And we've talked, there's a number of processes that that go on.
Right.
As we're dealing in particular divorce issues, this is another process that can come in. And so we want to get a good understanding about why it's important to understand the collection process and about the deadlines, how that plays a role in there.
Absolutely. And a lot of family law attorneys, because they don't work in tax, they don't know the collection process and they shouldn't. That's not their area of expertise. Just like I don't know all the rules on family law. I work with enough to kind of, I know enough to be dangerous, but I'm not an attorney, so I can't have the legal advice, but they don't understand the process. And it's as a practitioner, it's important for us, if we're brought in, to educate them on the process, to educate them on what is a notice CP-2000, which is, hey, there's an adjustment to the return. What is a CP-501 say? Hey, you owe money. 503 is a follow-up. A CP-504, an intent to levy. Not taking their money right yet, but they're about to, and you need to really work with the IRS. Or a CP-90 and a letter 11, which once they get that, they're about to seize and levy your bank accounts. You have 30 days to file a collection due process hearing request. And that's a statutory deadline of 30 days. You pass it, you miss that deadline to file for a collection due process hearing. And so those deadlines are important to educate the attorney, to educate the client, so they know to address these issues, or also to put it in the settlement agreements. Hey, if there's a chance of something like this happening, how do we resolve it? Who do we approach? Do we have somebody to go to help fix this? Because those deadlines can be pretty tight. And like I said, the IRS doesn't care what state court says. The IRS is going to go do what the IRS is going to do. And nobody can set aside those deadlines. So it's important to educate people about that, especially the attorneys, so they can help represent their clients while you can represent the client in that divorce.
Yes, and certainly those deadlines, and some of those deadlines are only 30 days.
Right, exactly.
And so it's important that the taxpayer, if these do come up during these proceedings, that they get it with their attorney, and then, of course, working with the CTRC to help them to get wherever they need to get this issue resolved, or how, or get the guidance necessary in dealing with the IRS, because you miss some of those deadlines and boy, the letters get, as those numbers go up, 501, 504, I mean, you're getting threats to levy, these kind of areas. It's important to make sure to work on those from the beginning. That way you don't get to those point, those scary letters that people always usually come to us with that aren't necessarily dealing with family issues. Oh, I've got this, but I'm like, okay, you're in here, but now let's get started on this now because you're already behind. So,
right. Well, and here, like just today, a client has sent me a notice that they got from the IRS on an intent to terminate their installment agreement. And they have 30 days to pay a certain amount of money or else the IRS will default that installment agreement. And so you have 30 days from the date of that letter. Maybe they come to you on day 28. You got to tell them, we have 2 days and there's no way to extend that. And then what do we do to work with it? So some of the deadlines are statutory, some aren't statutory, but the IRS is going to hold to it. They told you what it was. Somebody comes to you 60 days later with that letter that's 30 days past due. There's nothing you can do. You're going to have to start from scratch with that. And so it's important for them to understand, hey, we need to deal with this when we deal with it. So
yes, definitely there. So then now, as we've covered those little areas, another important part that really comes in when you're dealing with divorce cases is the tax filing status, why that's so important. And that's either both pre-divorce and post-divorce. It could even, of course, affect while the couple is married, things that they did when they filed the joint return. So how does this all fit in, the tax filing status, when it comes to these cases when a person is getting divorced?
Well, it matters because tax filing can really affect on, you know, what your tax rate is, what credits are available to you, what deductions are available to you. And a lot of times people think, okay, if we're getting a divorce, married filing jointly is the most advantageous way to file the return. Well, yes, that is true in a lot of cases, but married filing jointly is an election. Default filing for married couples is separate. You have to elect to file joint, but sometimes it's not good to file a joint return. So you may say, hey, you know what? I think it's probably better to file a joint return, but I don't trust my spouse. I think they're hiding money or something, or they're going to have a massive tax debt, mostly because of their income. I'm going to file separately, so I'm not responsible for that tax. If you file jointly, you're jointly and severally liable for that tax debt. File separately, you're only liable for your tax debt, and assets in your own name can't be touched by the IRS to settle the other spouse's tax debt. Something like that happens. And so that's where it's important. It's also important to understand when it comes to like child custody and that sort of thing. For head of household filing, what the IRS considers to be custody is different from what a family law would consider to be custody. A family law attorney says, well, you know, you have joint custody or it's physical custody or something to that effect. To the IRS, custody is the number of overnights. And whoever gets to file head of household has to have the greater number of overnights with that particular dependent to be eligible to file head of household. Also to get the EITC, also to get the dependent care credit and that sort of thing. Yes, a client can then sign the form to release the dependent to be claimed on the other person's tax return with a child tax credit only. Doesn't allow for head of household. That must be number of overnights. And so you have, in a divorce settlement agreement, you want to talk about that. Maybe even have a schedule of overnights so we're not running afoul with that rule. Maybe head of household switches back and forth. If you have two children, maybe each spouse gets one child for the greater number of overnights per year, so they each could file head of household with that particular dependent, which should be in the settlement agreement, and have a custody calendar that specifically says that. Now, people ask me, how will the IRS know? How will they know how many overnights? In actuality, they don't know. Okay, the IRS does not ask you to submit a calendar of overnights. But if you have one client is going to file head of household because they have the number of overnights, but the other one files their return early, they claim the child, they claim head of household, and then you try to claim the child for yours, IRS is going to reject the return. Now you got an issue, and now you got to fight something with the IRS. And that's where that the custody comes in matter and the tax filing status. Head of household offers a greater tax benefit than married filing separately or single. And you have to follow, make sure that the rules are correct. One last point. Even if you're married, but you have been separated and under the decree of separation, and you haven't lived in the same house for the last 6 months of the year, you're considered unmarried for tax filing purposes, and you can file ahead of household with the IRS. So you want to make sure you're working with a tax professional to see, hey, we're married, but I don't want to file with him because I don't trust him, and I can file ahead of household because I meet the other requirements.
Yeah, it's very important. And see, this whole child overnights is so important. Where there's so many issues come in is when there's a joint custody.
Yes.
Is where a lot of issues come in and where you can run into that, because they say there's so many nights over here, so many nights over there, which is comes to me the often things we say, record keeping. Literally,
yep.
It would be a good idea for a parent to actually keep a calendar, keep an overnight record of the child staying with them. And that, of course, includes if the child was overnight with them, but maybe the child slept over a friend's house. Of course, that's
absolutely
that still counts as being with them. So they need to keep a record of that. Or, of course, it's always good to have it specific or it's specified in the document that as tax a resolution specialist, we always get a copy of whenever there's right. We always get a copy of that. So, and that's where it'd be good for the in working with the attorneys to make sure that gets worded to say that this parent has this many nights a year, which kind of actually clarifies the whole thing, because then you're not dealing with issues. So that's the area there that's very important there in handling
absolutely
child custody and deductions. And of course, being very careful, because sometimes I get this issue, and I'm sure you've had it, where ones come in and say, well, it's my year to claim, and you go through the document. You say, well, did the child live with you? No. Well, yeah. Well, no, the child did not live with me, but I get to claim them. Well, okay, yeah, but this is all you get when you claim them. Well, I don't get this, this. I'm like, no, you don't get this because this is what's in the court document. So I've had people leave my office because of that. And so anyway, it's what happens. And so there's those issues that help that we that have to get ironed out, and people have to make sure they properly understand during the course of the divorce and working with the attorney to make sure that those items are all covered there.
Now, absolutely. It's funny because sometimes they'll say, okay, overnight, 183 nights with spouse A and 182 nights with spouse B. Okay. So spouse A gets a greater number of overnights. Okay. But let's say spouse A had to do a business trip for 2 nights, unexpected, and spouse B has a child for those 2 nights. Well, now it's not 183, 182. Now it's 181, 184. Now this spouse has the greater number of overnights, and they're the one to be eligible to file head of household unless they agreed to switch nights and give two. It's things like that that really can kind of get confusing to that. And if it's a leap year and it's 366 days and each have them for 183 days, it's the taxpayer with the higher adjusted gross income that's awarded the ability. That's the tiebreaker for head of household.
Yes, definitely, though. So these are just all the things that come out there. Now, one of the, and when it comes to tax filing status back on jointly and filing separately, I've had clients who actually choose to file separately because licensing. Like when I have a client who was so concerned, she's a registered nurse, and
yes,
because of wanting to make sure her license was wasn't threatened, which I don't know what tax filing does regard licenses, but she wanted to make sure everything's right, and it took her husband forever to get his stuff because he was a farmer. And if you've ever dealt with farmers, you know how they can be.
In sure.
Terms of records. Sure. Anyway, so I did them for years. I worked with her for years, and I was like, okay, that makes sense. And I mean, that makes sense. You don't kind of trust what's going on with your spouse's business. And so that's why oftentimes married filing separately is due. And I've had other clients that just choose to do it because their husband, it's always a husband that they like. That's always the wife that comes in. At least in my case, it's always been. Comes in and just says, I want to file separately because my husband has his business and I just don't want to be a part of his business. Well, that's fine. So that's something areas to think about. If you do have a spouse that is employed and is concerned about perhaps tax, maybe from the beginning you do it, but yet if you've been filing jointly, there could be areas that come in later on, perhaps when a divorce, because you filed jointly, where issues such as you being liable for a tax you didn't create, then we may need to take further steps.
Sure. Maybe there's a spouse issue there. Maybe now they're getting hit with an installment agreement or an offer and compromise. Or maybe there isn't a resolution and they have assets that could be used. NARA says you need to use these assets to pay out this tax debt or something like that. So
yes, absolutely.
Yes. Now, just kind of touch on this a little bit because I really enjoyed this case. Why don't you share with us, you had a client named Mary who you helped because her husband, Ted, made some big mistake. What happened?
Absolutely. So this is an interesting client. This is a referral from a family law attorney. I actually get quite a few referrals from family law attorneys, and not all for divorce. That's it. Real quick, as a side note, you build these relationships with family law attorneys. They'll send you, you know, they have clients with tax issues that aren't in divorce. It's just a tax issue. You know, maybe it's post-divorce or something, and it's an old client of theirs. They send them to you. Well, this is a new client. She went in to meet with her attorney to say, hey, I want to file for divorce. And what had happened was she came to me because she wanted to know if she should file separately or file jointly with her husband for the final year. So I asked her to tell the story. Whenever I sit with a client, then we have all the time in the world, tell me your story. Just, you know, give them the opportunity to just kind of tell me what's going on. And she was talking about how her husband, and who was a college professor in economics, had taken a $1 million withdrawal from his retirement, pretty much drained his whole retirement, and invested it in a cryptocurrency opportunity, quote unquote, and didn't tell her. She had no idea that he had done this. And over time, he kept losing money, because it was a cryptocurrency scam, and he ended up losing all $1 million. He also happened to have an affair with the scammer, and once the money was gone, the scammer was gone and left him high earning nothing. So he lost his money. Well, he's over 59 and a half, so there's no early withdrawal penalty. However, for some reason, he didn't understand that he'd have to pay tax on the entire $1 million withdrawal from his retirement account. And so that's, what, $350,000 tax bill? Of course, you know, we don't know what the exact would be. Well, if they file a joint return, Mary is jointly and severally liable for that tax debt. So I'm talking to her and I ask her, tell me about your financial situation. And she's a professor and she said, well, I have a $400,000 IRA and a $600,000 other, like 401k. And I said, well, if you file jointly, you're going to be responsible for the tax debt on this, on your husband's withdrawal. And you most likely won't even be able to get into an installment agreement because you have enough assets to liquidate, pay the tax. Mm-hmm. Remember, the IRS, statistically speaking, all installment agreements default within 48 months. So the IRS is instructed to get as much as they can up front. If they see you have $1 million in assets, they're going to tell you to liquidate what they can and pay them the amount. They might not even give you an installment agreement. You file jointly, you're going to be on the hook for that tax debt. So I suggest you file separately. She said, well, wouldn't that mean I have to pay more in tax? I said, yes, your tax bill for you may be higher than what it would if you filed jointly. Because, you know, filed jointly and then here's my portion of the tax, here's your portion of the tax. And I said, but you will not be responsible for Ted's tax and your assets cannot be touched by the IRS to pay that tax. So she agreed with that and filed separately. Then I worked with her family law attorney to say, hey, here's what her tax portion would be if they filed jointly. Here's what her tax is filing separately. Here's the difference. Well, $300, $400, whatever it was. It's up to you because you're the family law attorney. You do the negotiations. But I would suggest possibly arguing that in the divorce decree, Ted pays Mary the difference between the tax. So I have to pay $400 more in tax because of this. You owe me, that's $400 you owe me in the divorce. And so it would make, she would, in essence, not be hurt at all by filing this way. That's an example of where Mary filing separately was very important because if they had just gone ahead and filed jointly, that's the better way to file is what we're told. She could have lost all of that retirement savings herself. And just getting divorced. Now, Frank, do I know what happened to Ted? He's not my client. I had no idea what would eventually happen. I actually didn't even prepare her return. She just wanted information on what to do. Our sister company, Edgewater, prepared the return and filed it. But she was not liable for that tax debt because she filed separate. And that's where it's important to work with somebody like us, the CTRCs, the EAs, the CPAs, who understand that and can advise them.
Yeah. So I like the instance there where you have, she'd gone to the attorney and I basically wanted to talk about divorce and the attorney referred her to you to discuss the tax issues because what was going to be in the client's best interest, which that's basically what I always try to do. What's in the client's best interest? And certainly an attorney would be wise to do work with a CTRC, because that would be in their client's best interest to make sure those tax issues, just like in Mary's case here, a whole disaster was averted.
Yes, exactly. Could she then have gone back and sued, you know, done a in the settlement saying, okay, he has to pay the tax and that sort of thing? We could say in the settlement agreement that, okay, the tax, that portion is for him and he needs to pay it. What if he didn't? Jointly and severally liable, the IRS is still going to come after her. Could they be filed an innocent spouse? Possibly. She had to pay the fee to file the innocent spouse. There's no guarantee you get it. It opens a bigger can of worms. It's a lot more difficult to handle it if you didn't file separately, then just file separately and you're separated from it. You don't have to worry about anything. And that's what we did.
So that's what's a very important matter, is that when a divorce is on the horizon, making these determinations ahead of time, because sometimes you've encountered this where they filed for a divorce in one tax year, but then it doesn't become final until the next tax year.
Right.
And
exactly.
So you got to work with a CTRC, especially through that time period, because that year that it was filed in, yeah, it may not be final to the next year, but in that year that it's filed in, what's going to be good based on the facts and circumstances for that year? Should they file together or should they file separately?
Well, and here's the issue. If the divorce is final on November 30th, they can't file a joint return.
Yeah.
At that point, it would be unlawful to file a joint return as you are not married. But actually, I have a client we're dealing with a case specifically on that, that the return joint return filed is an unlawful return. It shouldn't be joint. They can't file joint. They have to separate them. So if you're going to do that, but you want to file a joint return for that year, say, okay, then don't make the divorce final until the subsequent year, January 5th or 6th. You can still file a joint return because, you know, people get in divorce. It may be one of those amicable divorces, and it's still best to file a joint return. You want to make sure you're still eligible to file a joint return. So if you get it, so if it's not final until January, you can still file a joint return for the prior year. If you were divorced officially on December 31st, that was the day you were divorced, you cannot file a joint return because you're not married on the last day of the year. And that's where the IRS, you know, determines marital status. Unless you didn't live with your spouse for the last 6 months of the year and you're separated on a decree of separation, at that point, that's the one exception.
Yes, definitely there. And so that's where timing, like everything with the IRS, is important. And I've had these discussions with clients getting a divorce, and just based on facts and circumstances, sometimes I say, well, it's not going to matter if the divorce is over, if you do have a final before the end of the year, because in your facts and circumstances, it would work out good for you, at least the client I'm working with there.
Yep.
Or maybe afterwards, maybe it's more advantageous for you to wait
for yes.
your final till after the beginning of the year. And that's where the consultation with us as the resolution specialists, the CTRCs, to help the client and the attorney make the best choice so that they can try to work within the court so that timing is everything, so that they can have the status that's effective them. So then, especially if you're dealing with someone who has high tax issues or big tax problems, and maybe you want the divorce done sooner so that you can just file as head of household, depending on whatever the facts and circumstances are there.
Absolutely.
Or of course, always do married filing separately as well. That way you're still protecting yourself. One thing we all know as we work in tax, and the taxpayers need to realize, fact, there's no hard set way to do anything.
Well, right. There are all kinds of options, but one thing for sure, Marcelino, I guarantee you, you've run into this before. It's much easier to resolve it at the beginning than to try to have them do it themselves, mess it up, and then we have to come in and fix it. It's a lot harder for us to fix it. We can, and a lot more expensive for us to fix it than if he came to us first and said, hey, just file a separate return. Because Mary filed a separate return, there's no issue. There's no dealing with their assets being seized. There's no innocent spouse filing. There's no dealing with, you know, okay, he said he'd pay the tax, but then didn't. There's none of that because she just filed separately in the first place and dealt with it and it was done.
Yes, but that's where we want to encourage taxpayers, anything financial, tax related, even if you don't think you need to, we definitely recommend you have a consultation with a good person, a CTRC, enrolled agent, CPA, that specializes in this type of area. That way you can have the proactive approach
yep.
before you even need to get to the more serious areas that we Of course, we're there to help, but we want to also prevent it as well.
Right. Exactly.
So leading us to our last area here, just to emphasize why a collaboration between a family law attorney and a CTRC certified tax representation consultant, why that relationship is so important.
Well, in my opinion, it's important because you're merging two separate areas in a very contentious issue. There's divorce. Okay. Well, the family law attorney is going to take the law side, the legal side, the, you know, dealing with the divorce, but then there is the tax side. And that throws a whole nother layer of ambiguity and issues into the divorce. So you, to get it right, it's important to work with that CTRC and for the CTRC to work with the family law attorney to make sure you can get it right from the beginning with the client. Like I said, it's much easier to resolve it from the beginning and get it done right than to have to fix it at the end. They keep going back to Mary's story because her attorney referred her to me, and that's, I work with this firm quite a lot with them. And when they have tax issues, they send their clients to me. I sent her to me. We were able to get it resolved and say, you file a separate return and he'll pay you the difference between what the tax was, a couple hundred bucks, no big deal. And it saved that huge headache. That's why it's important for family law attorneys and for to collaborate with EAs, CPAs, especially when they're CTRCs, because that's where we can really kind of get them on the right track at the start versus having to go back and fix something down the road.
Okay. Yes, definitely there. Boy, Patrick, we really thank you for all these wonderful insights today, which what is a very contentious topic dealing with divorce and families there and his children as well. Very informative. So is there any other item you want to make sure to share about these issues related to divorce?
Well, I just want to say if you have clients who are thinking about getting a divorce, please reach out to the family law attorneys or talk to them because it's a great area to grow your practice, to get referrals. Work with getting network with family law attorneys. Go to your local or state bar association to find out what events that you know that they have that you can attend, maybe speak at their events to let them know what you do because they're craving that help. They don't necessarily know where to go because it's such a niche area that not many people know who exactly is doing just that. And that's very important. So do that. Also, if you're interested, again, my first book, Breakthrough from the IRS, How to Resolve IRS Tax Debt, Reclaim Your Freedom, is available on Amazon.com. I encourage people to kind of pick up the book and kind of read through. And it's just stories of clients that I've helped resolve their tax debt issues. My second book's available in early August. If you're interested, send me an email, call me, let me know you're interested, and I'll let you know when it's available, and you can get that online on Amazon.com as well. Marcelin, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you taking time to interview me today. It was a great time.
Appreciate to be able to visit with you as well and get your insights. And we'll put a link to the book in our description to the book that you have out already there. I'm glad you provided that to me there. So we want to thank everyone for today. And keep in mind that if shame and frustration from unfiled tax returns haunt you, we help you overcome that burden of feeling isolated and victimized by tax issues. It can be daunting, but you don't have to face it alone. Imagine transforming those feelings of exposure and vulnerability into confidence and optimism. Visit taxreliefcall.com today to schedule your introductory session and start your journey to a better night's sleep and a whole lot of peace of mind. Thanks for listening to the Tax Answers Advisor. And remember, together we can make tax time less taxing.